Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut in pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine there is. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1. OUTDOOR and the number 1. Lastly, many outdoorsmen are trying to quit tobacco altogether, and Fully Loaded Chew may be that first step. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Woodsman Podcast. This week we're going to be kicking off another episode of the PA Bruiser Buck series. Going to be profiling a guy by the name of Brendan Fink and the story of him harvesting his largest whitetail to date in archery season. Brendan's a normal guy that loves archery hunting, has a passion for whitetails, and was able to fulfill a lifelong dream maybe of harvesting a Boone and Crockett bruiser whitetail. This deer had insane mass, insane beam length, and was just an absolute stud of a deer. And the story of recovering this deer is what makes it oh so special. It's a story of hard work and dedication to try to recover his trophy that he harvested. And we're anxious to hear his story. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode.
So tell me a little bit, like you, how long you've been bow hunting, first of all?
Well, I've been shooting a bow since I was 11. So I'm 40 now.
So you've pretty much cut your teeth archery hunting from the beginning.
Yeah, I've always archery hunted the whole time. I shot my first buck when I was 17, and I've shot a buck every year since then, but only two of them with the rifle. So most of them have been with the bow.
Oh wow, so you really are diehard bow hunter.
Yeah, and a couple of my spots are archery only, so that's a big reason as well.
Okay,
you know, either close to housing or just the property where I shot this one is we'd only do archery. So
to make sure I'm getting through, how big was this buck? Like how many points did it have and what did it end up scoring then officially?
It was never officially scored. It was scored twice at 168 and 163. So I tell people 165.
Okay.
He was green. It was 171. I think he was green. So, you know, a little bit of shrinkage, 13 points. Pretty freaky rack. It was a mainframe 9, I believe, with 4 kickers.
It was. When I saw the picture of that deer, it got sent to me. I was like, holy cow, that thing is a horse.
Yeah.
Did you weigh it?
No, didn't get to weigh it.
Okay.
It was too warm. We wanted to cut him up right away.
Okay.
Because I think he had like 27-inch beams, 27, 28-inch beams. So he had a lot of inches there.
Yeah, I'll say that's a horse.
Yeah.
But so you say it was warm out. So did you killed it with your bow and you killed it in early archery season?
I did. It's quite the long story, but I shot him September 22nd, in the evening. And, I wanted to hunt a cornfield and he came in real early, actually. I think it was like 5:45. Didn't expect anything that early.
Right.
And, came in like almost right underneath me, but he didn't give me a shot. He was still in the corn rows. His head was in my opening.
But, so you were kind of set up on the edge of a cornfield.
Right on the edge of the field. Hunt. Yeah. Figured it was cooler. They were going to be moving early actually. And earlier than I thought.
Okay. So yeah. Early. So you're September 22nd. So you're, you were
3 days
that,
into the season.
Yeah. I was going to say, when did it open last year?
In our remember. Early. Yeah. We're down here in 5C, so it opened. We have that extra 2 weeks.
Okay, so you got into that. So the property you're hunting, you're hunting private land, right?
It was private property, yep.
Okay, yeah. So have you hunted there for a long time and run cameras?
Yeah, yep. Trying to think how many. I probably hunted there at least 10 years, maybe 15 on that property. Okay. I run cameras basically. I'll start in July. And put them out. I had a lot of good deer this year, but I did not have any pictures of that buck at all. And I don't know anybody that knew him.
So what's like you say, a good deer, like I think everybody, you know, has their own standards of good deer. So like when you're talking about going into your season, you're setting cameras up and looking for, you know, something that you want to target. Like what's your ultimate goal when you go into hunting season?
I'm personally not too picky. When I say a good deer, like I'll have pictures of deer like 140, you know, and above. I would consider that's a good deer. Now that's not obviously what I shoot every year. I'm sure. 100 to 125. If that's coming past me, I'm the kind of guy that's not letting that go. But
sure. I mean, let's face it. If a good 3-year-old comes around in Pennsylvania, sure. The whole point of us talking about this is to really show that we're getting to the point in PA where we're starting to see some bigger deer. I mean, your deer is no exception, but so you kind of went into the season. Did you have any bucks picked out that you were like, I really want to target this deer?
There was actually another 13 pointer in this stand coming by like every day, every other day. And,
wow. In daylight. I mean,
he was like 100. He got shot in rifle. I don't know what he actually scored then, but I would say he was 140s. And he was coming past, and as soon as I saw the corn stalks moving and I saw the rack, it was similar, and I get worked up pretty good, so I'm like, no, don't look at the rack, you picked a deer. I was pretty sure that's the deer it was, you know, because it was like too coincidental, and ended up being 20 inches bigger. So
so was this the first night in the stand?
I believe I hunted that stand the first opening night.
Okay.
I know I didn't hunt it the Monday. This was a Tuesday night. Monday I hunted a different stand, but,
so then Tuesday night is when you hunted this stand.
Yeah.
Yep. So kind of give me an idea. Like, is it a landlocked parcel? Is it a lot of ag? Is it broken?
It's a lot of ag.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so you're hunting like wood patches around.
Okay.
Yeah. It's certainly not, it's farm country, you know, there's fence rows, there's, I don't know, 50 acre to 100 acre woodlots.
Okay.
You know, there's houses around, but nothing real close. It's mostly farmland.
You had set up in the stand at like what time, like early afternoon?
About 5 o'clock.
So 5 o'clock, and this thing came in at 5:45.
Yeah, I wasn't in very long at all. And
let it play out then. So what happened? You thought it was the deer you had pictures of, but it ended up not being.
Right. Yeah. So like I said, he came in and he stopped. I drew back. He was walking and he stopped with his head in my shooting lane, like almost right below me and I was holding and I couldn't tell you how long. It was at least 30 seconds, and I'm starting to get tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I think I can put one in between the stalks here. And I moved the pin back and felt good about it. And I shot, and he took off running through the corn. And obviously you can't see him go too far after that, but I didn't really hear anything. I didn't hear him crash or anything. And that kind of concerned me. And so it was so early. I just stayed in the stand forever till it was dark and worked my way out around the long way. I didn't want to jump him if he wasn't down or anything yet.
Right.
And called my uncle. He was hunting maybe a mile away or so. And he stopped by and we went out and tracked and didn't have much blood. We tracked like 80 yards and a little bit of blood, and then it just stopped. So
highs to lowest of lows in that sense then.
Yeah. And my arrow broke off. We found my arrow. Like, it had good penetration, you know, but I still don't know exactly what happened, but ended up waiting overnight. Next day I couldn't get out first thing in the morning. I had to work, so I worked till 11, and I got a guy in with a tracking dog.
Okay.
And we tracked him. I think it was a mile or a mile and a quarter, I think. Wow. And two drops of blood the whole way, and nothing. Didn't find the deer.
What was the tracking dog? Yeah, the guy that was running the tracking dog, what was his reaction as you were going through that blood trail?
Yeah, he didn't have much faith. You know, he was excited when we didn't have anything at first, and then we found the first drop of blood. And the dog, so we got kind of turned around there, found that spot again, came back, And then the dog took off and we're going down and we went a couple hundred yards again. And I found the smallest drop of blood right where the dog had just walked past. And the guy said, well, obviously this is the trail, you know, that he's walking. It was basically down the edge of a fence row. The deer followed down to a creek. And I thought, well, the deer's going to be down the creek here laying. But ended up across the creek and followed it. And we ended up giving up then. He's like, you know, this deer's either going to live or we're not going to find it. You know, it's
right.
Just, we were on the wrong trail or whatever.
So up until that time, you still had no idea what happened and where your arrow hit.
No. And I mean, it'll end up coming out, but the guy's like, you know what? I bet you did. He's like, I bet you shot over the spine into the opposite shoulder of the deer and just down in like the pocket. So I could, like, from my perspective thinking, I thought I had like a perfect shot. You know, I didn't see what happened. Even though it was so close, I didn't see the shot.
Yeah. How far did you say he was?
He was almost like right underneath me.
Okay.
You know, 5 yards max.
Okay.
So I don't know if I deflected off a corn stalk or if I ended up just shooting over the spine and down into that pocket. I'm not sure. But getting back to it, I mean, I probably looked 5 times at least for that deer, just combing different areas. And getting to October 4th, I get a call. October 3rd, I didn't hunt at all after that. I was a little down on myself. You know, I hadn't hunted since then. October 3rd was a Friday night. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm just going to go shoot a doe. I went out and I shot a doe. I lie. It was a Saturday night. Shot a doe. Sunday morning, cut the doe up. Went and looked for the buck again one last time. I thought, I'm going to give this one last shot. I went, looked, nothing. And I got home and my phone rang. Hey, there's this buck laying on the edge of the property. He can't get up. He's paralyzed, but he's still there. And they sent me a picture of it. And I thought, that's not the deer I shot. And I'm like, I had to go look though. I, you know, either way I had to do something, but I figured, well, so I drove back over. It was like another 20 minutes back over right where I was. And, so this was a Sunday now. So this deer's laying there and I'm like, I couldn't see the side where I shot. And so I called the game commission. I said, I get around a little bit behind the deer and I'm like, there's definitely a hole there, you know, like where this shot should have been, you know, this and that. And lined up, game commission gave me permission to just put it down. And they said, you know, obviously you're gonna have to tag. I couldn't shoot it with a gun or I had to shoot it with the bow again. I had the bow.
Sure.
Shoot it with the bow. And so it ended up being the deer I shot. And I still just couldn't believe how big it was. I was in shock. You know, the whole thing, it was 12 days afterwards that this deer, I don't know what happened there. The meat was still perfectly good and everything. So if something got wedged in his spine that he couldn't move and he got paralyzed right there, or if an infection was starting to set in his brain that paralyzed somewhere along the line there, I couldn't tell you, but like I said, he was just, it's crazy how he ended up there, that somebody could see him and get a hold of somebody else and call me that knew I was looking for a deer like that, you know?
So how far was the deer from where you originally shot him?
It was about 1.5 miles.
Okay.
But I'm sure he was running around, you know, because it was 12 days. He was running around a long time before that.
Exactly.
That's where he ended up.
And in the meantime, you never had a picture of him. You don't know anybody that did have a picture of this deer.
Nope. But I did have pictures of the deer that I thought I was looking at, you know, the other 13 pointer.
Okay, so were you thinking at that point he was still alive and you still had pictures? Like, you still were thinking you shot that deer?
Well, I wasn't thinking I shot that deer anymore.
Okay.
Because I was like, they both had kickers too off. And I was like, that was like the thing I saw that I knew was like, oh, well, that just in my head. And then when I saw the other deer, I'm like, well, there's no signs of hit on that other deer at all. So it clearly wasn't that deer. But yeah.
So the whole culmination of 12 days and then you ended up calling the game commission on a
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep, because it was a Sunday around noon.
So you
time.
Got permission to shoot the deer, and yep. Did you realize before you put it out of its misery? Did you realize that it was the buck you shot, or was it not
by
until
that
afterwards?
Time? I had, because I was sitting there waiting for the game commission to call me back, and I was able to get around it and see that there was a shot. And well, then, like I said, the tracking dog told me where he thought I shot it, and I still couldn't believe that.
Yeah,
and you know that's exactly what happened. That shot missed the spine by less than an inch, and it probably missing the whole deer or just glancing off the shoulder by another inch. You know, it was like just no man's land. It ended up down in the pocket there.
It happens. I mean, you know, people,
and that's why there's no blood. There was like straight down, no pass through.
So was the other part of your arrow still in the deer?
No, it worked out by then.
Okay.
Yeah, it had worked out.
Yeah, I think people get criticized easily when stuff happens and goes wrong, but it's part of bow hunting, unfortunately. But I mean, talk about the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. So what was your first reaction when you got your hands on that deer?
I mean, I still didn't think he was 165, you know. I was like, well, this is a good deer, you know. But it just doesn't happen to you. Like I said, I'm a 100 to 125 inch guy, no problem. And then you hold something like that, it's like mass on him and everything, and just sitting there. But I couldn't fully, I could believe it, but I couldn't get myself to, I don't know what I would say, accept that I had shot one that big, you know. It's like,
I mean, did you ever think, since you started hunting when you're 11, did you ever think in the time frame of your life that you'd ever be able to hunt a deer that was Boone and Crockett in Pennsylvania?
No, you don't think about it.
No,
even scoring it up, you're like, you know, Boone and Crockett, wow, you know, it's just not words that come into play, and you don't think around this area. But there were so many big deer shot in that area this year. We'll see what's left for next year. Or this,
I was going to say, so like, you know, I'm assuming that's the biggest buck you've ever killed in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yep. Anywhere. Yep.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you come off of a season like that, you shoot the biggest buck of your life, probably one of the crazier stories you've ever experienced. Like, you know, we're getting into July at that time frame where you're starting to going to be able to start identifying maybe a target to hunt this year. I mean,
sure.
How do you come off of a season?
It helps.
That?
It helps the that you can, I can hold out a little more probably. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do any better than that more than likely, but you know, at least I got goals, you know, it is possible, you know, so.
And, you know, the one thing that you said that just stands out to me so much is the minute you saw those tines shaking in the corn, like, it just, you get excited easily. And like, regardless of what you're hunting, that's what it's all about.
Oh yeah.
Like, to me, it's just magnified when you see something of that caliber coming.
Yeah. The first time I saw him, he was probably no more than 30 yards, you know, just see him moving the corn stalks side to side, and it's like, okay, here we go. Yeah.
Did you ever shoot one that early in the season?
I like to shoot one pretty early.
Okay.
I shouldn't say I usually end up doing it. I run a lot of mock scrapes. That's where I get a lot of my pictures from.
Okay.
And that usually keeps them in a little bit of pattern. We can hunt so early down here in 5C that they're in their summer patterns yet.
So, I mean, that early hunting in 5C, that's really, I mean, that's been a big difference. We probably would have been able to do that for what, 10, 15 years, or is it not that long?
No, I don't even think it's that long.
It
could be longer than five, but I would have said maybe 5 years.
So like, you know, in that amount of time that you've been able to do that, how has that changed your archery hunting?
It's almost too hot some days. I'm the guy, I hunt pretty much every day, you know, in the evenings. There's days that it seems awful hot, but they are very, they're patternable for sure. You know, if you see one day, more than likely it's coming back within that air, you know, within a day or two.
So you're able to kind of use those mock scrapes and come up with a pinpoint between, you know, what's pretty obvious as slash, you know, bedding thickets and cornfields, and kind of come up with some kind of pattern to set up early season.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, we're a lot of ag. So there's, you know, you can see them in the fields.
So I have to ask, are you running any cameras right now?
I don't have any out yet. Nope.
Okay. So you'll kind of flip the gears here. What, in the coming weeks then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have everything. I'm starting to get everything ready.
Okay.
I'll usually throw cameras out at the beginning of July and then start hanging stands end of July.
Sweet.
So, doing my trimming and stuff.
So what was I can't even fathom. So you know, you go through and you think it's a different deer, and then you end up killing a deer that you've never seen before, and you don't know anybody. You say you don't know anybody that ever saw that deer that you know of.
I've never heard. I don't know anybody that saw. Somebody told me they had pictures of it, but I don't necessarily believe them, because there was another one shot. It was a half mile away, maybe. I'm sure you've seen it, but it was like about a 200 okay. incher.
Okay.
I think it grossed what he. SCI was around 200, I believe. But he took the guy, not that guy, but somebody else told me they had pictures of both deer, you know, in the area, but I could have, they couldn't, I don't know. Yeah.
You know? Well, you put a little spoiler alert. I'm really trying to convince that individual to tell okay. his story on that deer. So if anybody listens to this, they'll know that there was a 200 inch deer shot in Pennsylvania last year, which is unheard of. Yeah. But that's all right. I mean, when I, like I said, the beginning of the season, when I saw the picture of your buck, I was blown away, because it just looked like an absolute tank. Do you have any idea how old the deer was? Did you get it aged?
The taxidermist said 4.5.
Okay.
That was just by looking at the teeth, I guess.
Okay.
I didn't send anything out.
Okay. So I mean, and I would believe it's easily a 4-year-old based on how,
I'd say it's
how
at least
large the deer was.
Yeah. At least. And he was, the biggest weight I ever shot dressed before was 204, and he was definitely that. Like I said, I didn't get to weigh him. So
yeah, it's that's one of the disadvantages of early season. But hey, it's a patternable hunt, and I mean that's a really cool story. it's kind of hard to come off of that one.
I don't know how many months it is since then, but it's still hard to believe.
I was going to say, how long did it take to come off of that high?
Yeah, that morning I gave up on him. I was like, well, he's either somewhere dead that nobody, I mean, I hadn't heard anybody find him or anything, you know, mm-hmm. and like, well, hopefully he's still alive and somebody sees him or something. But, you know, it's funny how that worked. I was pretty sure I wasn't finding him at that point. So then 2 hours later.
2 hours. Is that the difference?
Yeah.
So what do you do with the rest of your hunting season in a situation like that, where you shoot two deer before, what was it, October 3rd, you had a doe and a buck down?
Yeah.
You got your buck the 5th, you finally got him then.
Yeah. So I ended up shooting one more doe, or one or two more doe, I forget. But I like to spread them out. I usually, like I said, most of my spots are archery, so even in rifle season or whatever, I'll take the bow out.
Sure.
I did end up shooting one doe with the bow and rifle. And I'm trying to think, and maybe I did only shoot two doe then, but I don't need a lot of meat, but we like to eat our venison. So
absolutely,
a lot cheaper than beef.
Pasture raised, right? Grazed.
Yeah.
I love venison. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, there's nothing like being able to share a story like you just told, and then also put that on the table for friends and family. That's what it's all about. Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Well, hey, I hope that at some point I can see the mount of that deer, because it's going to be pretty darn cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hopefully. You got a place picked out for it, or did your wife pick that for you?
No, I got a spot for it. I got to rearrange a couple others, but I know right where he's going. So
she was overjoyed to have another decoration in the house, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So thrilled. I'm trying to think. She actually did look at this rack. So most of the time I bring them home, she's like, oh, great. Yeah, good job. She's like, now you don't have to go hunting every night.
Well, she probably said, like, I know I shot a buck, and my wife said, well, you can't mount another one until you shoot one bigger than that.
Yeah.
If your wife says that, you got a problem.
Yeah, I will have no more mounts.
Hey, you never know. Hopefully it keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah, there's potential, but it's unlikely.
Hey, keep hunting hard. That's an awesome story, and man, I hope that you hope you can find something else that's worth getting your blood pumping for archer season this year.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So you got your bow tuned in and you shooting?
Yep, I'm shooting every night right now.
Atta boy.
Yep.
Atta boy.
Couple arrows.
yeah, tune it in, get ready. And I hope you have a heck of a season.
Yeah. Hope I'm a better shot than last year.
We always hope for that, but expect the worst and hope for the best, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Bow hunting is so unpredictable. I think that's what draws us.
But yeah, it is the best. You're right.
Brendan, thank you so much for sharing that story, man.
All right. No problem.
Hey, you have a good night. And again, good luck this hunting season.
All right. You too.
Take care, pal.
All right. Bye.
See you.